Welcome to episode number 15 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thanks for joining us again. Thanks for downloading the show. And we're back with another week of running news, a bit of a listener question, a moose on the loose, and, yeah, talking all things running. How are we, boys?
Good, mate. Yeah. Welcome home.
Yeah, thank you.
Congrats.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Thanks. Looking forward to talking about that a bit later in the show. And it's good to be back in Australia, but I had so much fun in Japan and looking forward to talking about, pretty big weekend for me. What have you two boys been up to?
Lots of volume last week and just started my taper now for BWA and just work. That's it, work and running.
3 weeks out. Julian, you haven't been offered a job for the Herald Sun or like some news corporation after your breaking news report investigative journalism last weekend?
No, I thought it was pretty funny, actually. There were a few papers that picked it up, but all they do is just like basically slightly reword the media release from Asada and put it out. Like it's pretty generic stuff, the reporting in the paper.
Yeah, I was actually surprised it went that far, though, to be honest. Like when we Googled it, because we pretty much had it when last Monday we had the story, but we couldn't break it until Asada put their report out. Yeah.
I was saying it's a shame that we had to re-record that section of it because, yeah, as you said, we could have put it out Tuesday, which actually would have been before all of the media outlets, you know, posted it. So that would have been pretty cool for the podcast.
Would have been really cool when we'll go on a court on Wednesday.
Well, yeah. I guess so.
You worry too much.
Yeah, I agree.
I just like to get the facts right, boys, and have a few more sources than our website that had a name spelt wrong on it. I think we did the right thing, in reflection. We did the right thing. And, we hadn't even heard from Cassie, whereas when we put it out later, at least we had, because that's the only place where I've seen anything from her.
It's true.
Yeah. So, yeah, if we didn't, we would have just, went off what we thought about it and a bit more opinion stuff rather than the facts that what she told us. But, yeah, it's a big week in Australian distance running with that news dropping.
Yeah, got a few opinions out there, some strong opinions. Interesting to read the comments and see what the comments of some of the articles and just sort of get a vibe for how everyone's feeling about it. Mm. It was like a real split. There was no one in the middle. It was like either one person, this is a this is a supplement issue, like there's no regulation. She was taking all the right precautions by checking the ingredients and all this sort of stuff. So they were fully on her side. Or the other side is, why does a distance runner need to take a fat-burning supplement, for one? And then Asada has always told athletes, just don't take supplements, because especially ones that aren't tested and have the clearing. So, and then thirdly, like, these supplements, you can't anything, you just go and buy it in a shop. So they're basically calling her a cheat.
Yeah, right. Who's doing the dishes while we record tonight?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Just at the sink recording tonight?
Dog food time.
It was split both ways and be interesting to see where it goes from here. Still waiting on a report from Athletes Australia or an official statement from Cassie, which would be, good to see where that goes in the future.
Yeah, well, I think we just forget about it. I'm interested to see what happens after the ban is served and how Cassie goes when she comes back.
Well, so many people contacted me about what would have happened if Julian didn't email Asada. Like, I think that was almost a story in itself.
That is the story here for me. Like, how many others have been swept under the carpet? Where this other Athletics Integrity Unit, whatever their website is, that's the one that actually released the information. If they didn't release it, this would have gone through to the keeper. No one, none the wiser. We all just think Cassie's got an injury. And I just wonder, like, how many others are in this exact situation who've served the ban, passed it off as an injury, and there you go.
Mm. And I think that's the looking into that website more and more just after last week, that's the purpose of that website, to be transparent across all governing bodies. So it's doing its job, I suppose.
I wonder how they found it.
Yeah, not sure. I wonder how your source, though, whoever gave it to you, they were digging deep as well.
Keeping an eye on it.
Yeah.
Keeping a finger on the pulse.
Just Command R every morning, refresh, see what new names are on there.
Maybe she was checking for herself. What, hoping she doesn't pop up.
Yeah, maybe. Brad, come on, talk us through your week. 3 weeks to go. Fit as a fiddle.
Yeah, so I guess last week was my last big week of training. So Monday was just 60 minutes in the morning and 35 in the afternoon with some hill sprints. So nothing special there. First session of the week was pretty light because I guess the previous Saturday I did that 2x12K. So my coach just wanted to make sure that, you know, I was recovering well from that one. So it was just 5 times a kilometre with 90 seconds jog, and they were run pretty controlled, sort of all between 3:02 and 3:03 kilometre pace. So I actually really enjoyed that session because I finished it not feeling, you know, completely spent, which is probably how you should finish most sessions. And then got out for 35 in the afternoon. Wednesday was my last midweek 2-hour run. So that was another early start before work. Got through 29K at 4:08s at 130 average heart rate.
What time do you get to work if you're doing 2 hours when you start at 6?
Yeah, about 8:30, I guess, because I only live 2K from home.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Sorry, live 2K from work. So I can pretty much come home, quick shower, something to eat, and then get down to work. So it's not too bad. I wouldn't be able to manage it if I lived any further away from work, I think.
Long day at work after banging out 2 hours before school?
Yeah, and then had a meeting after work as well. So, yeah, Wednesday the last 2 weeks has been pretty long day. But I don't run twice that day, so I guess that's one positive. So then Thursday was a pretty light day, just 50 minutes in the morning and 35 in the afternoon with a few strides. And then Friday I had a session, which I haven't really done this before, but it was 3x3K with a 2-minute float. But each 3K, every kilometre, was to get a little bit faster. So the plan was to go sort of 3:20-ish for the first K, 3:15 and 3:10 for the second, for the third. But I don't know, my Garmin, when it beeped over every kilometre, was all over the place. So ended up being sort of starting off around 3:15 for the first rep or for the first kilometre, 3:10 to 3:12 for the second, and low 3 minutes for the third kilometre of each rep. And the 2-minute float was done in sort of 3:30 to 3:40. So ended up being a pretty solid session. It was 10K in about 32:15. But obviously it's sort of a hard way of doing it where you're constantly changing pace. But the positive I got out of that was going from 3:04 back to, say, 3:15, 3:17, that felt really comfortable. Like 3:04s weren't so comfortable, but 3:17s were. And then no run in the afternoon. Very light Saturday because I had a big Sunday plan. So that was just 50 minutes in the morning and 35 in the arvo. And then my last big session for, I guess, this marathon block was to run around 25K before doing a hard 10. So around 25 or just over 25K at 3:58s. Quickly changed out of, I did that in the Zoom flies, quickly changed out of that into the 4%ers and then did 10K. But the way I did the 10K was 2K solid, followed by 500 hard, and then try to go back into 2K solid and then 500 hard. So the first rep I was running like 3:16, 3:17 for the first 2 kilometres and then kicked down to, say, 3:04 for 500 metres, then went back to 3:14, 3:13, kicked down 500 metres at 3:02, then went 3:14, 3:12, kicked down to 3:04, and then went 3:08, 3:03, kicked down to 2:50, which, so ended up running 10K in 31:40, just over 31:40, which in hindsight, I probably would have been better off just cruising all that marathon tempo, because I guess the session has a tendency to escalate when you do that, because once you start running 3-minute Ks, dropping it back to 3:20s is really hard. Because you've obviously activated everything. So But as it turned out, it was, you know, I can't complain with the session. I think it was probably the fastest 10K I've ever run in training, and that's at the end of a long run. So, and then just a 2K cooldown, and yeah, about 180K for the week.
Yes, very good. Well, this Strava segment has you breaking the course record for the second half. You ran the second half of parkrun in 7:04.
No, because that there's a little bridge that you have to go around in parkrun, but over it for this session, so it obviously cuts off that bit. Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't run that fast for 2.5K or whatever it is. Yeah.
There's a but here, though, isn't there? Because it's Monday. Monday, everything wasn't feeling all right. Bit of a niggle.
No, so during that, I started to notice my TIB post. So this was at the end of the 25K, was just getting a little bit niggly. And I remember saying to Viv, because she was down at the where I was doing the hard 10K, and I said, oh, TIB post's a bit sore. No bike this week. It had a flat tyre, actually. So I said to her, just as I was changing my shoes, I said, oh, TIB post's a little bit sore. And then I put the 4%ers on and didn't really notice it at all during the 10K. And then Monday, which was yesterday, I got out for about 50 minutes and didn't really notice it. And then started off this morning and it was sore pretty much the whole run. Like I probably should have just turned around after 10 minutes. But what I find with TIB post is it's not one of those ones that gets gradually worse throughout a run. It's more... because from what I understand, TIB post is more of a stabilizer for the ankle. So if you're on a pretty even surface, it sometimes doesn't give you a lot of grief. It's more when you're uneven. But when I finished the run this morning, I knew that I was sort of in danger of it developing into something worse. So I think I'll be having a couple of days off now, which I did have a scheduled rest day for Thursday just because I haven't missed a day for like, well, I haven't missed a day of running since the flight home from Europe, which was October, and I'm probably going to miss a day of running when I fly to Japan, so we just wanted to sort of replicate that a couple of weeks out. So I had a rest day for Thursday, and I'll probably take tomorrow off as well. So I'm not panicking, but it's not obviously ideal.
Smart thinking, though. Smart thinking.
You can get some good results from taping for TIB post. Like to take the load off that tendon, that sort of helps a lot of people.
Yeah, look, if that's an option, but I think initially 2 days off, you know, coming off, as I said, I haven't missed a day for 20 weeks. A couple of days off is not going to hurt me at all. And I've had this before, and normally it does settle within 1 or 2 days. Where it drags on is you take 1 day off, you test it, it's not quite right. You take another 2 off, test it, it's not quite right. So even if I take 3 days off, I'm confident that I'll get on top of it.
Cross your fingers, listeners. Cross your fingers.
Yeah, I'm
after
not
that, as... after that session, you don't want to do too much more. That seemed like pretty hard work.
Yeah, like, it wasn't controlled. And as you know, Julian, doing that Well, no, it's very hard to get the heart rate back down once you throw 500 metres in at 300 km. So it's, you know, it would have been controlled if I just ran it all at 315s, but doing it that way, it's never going to feel easy, but hopefully I get something out of it.
Is this the session that Julian advised you to do? Is this the one we're talking about at the end of last week?
Well, it's the one that I saw that he did before Berlin, but he didn't do it at the end of a long run. He just did it as a session, but he did 1500 meters at marathon pace, 500 hard, whereas I did 2K at marathon pace, 500 hard. And he said he found it quite a difficult session.
Oh, it was really hard.
Yeah.
You just added 2 hour long run before it and an extra 500 meters of hard stuff.
Well, it's all right.
I'm just trying to prove a point.
Got a lot of confidence from it.
Oh, shit. He ran 218.
Yeah. And couldn't do the workout.
Yeah, but maybe I've left it on the training track. Who knows?
Wouldn't be the first time Croker's done that.
Don't talk like that. It's getting dangerous territory for you.
Yeah, I'll be right. I'll be on the start line.
Get the hashtag back. Pray for Brad, everybody. Light up his Strava and Facebook and all that kind of thing.
Well, the good thing is the work's done now, whereas when I got injured before Berlin, I was like 7 weeks out. So.
Yeah.
Whereas now, even if I took 2 weeks off, I probably wouldn't run as well as I would if I didn't miss 2 weeks. But you know, I'm not going to get a lot fitter between now and Berlin. Oh, sorry, now and Biwa.
Beautiful, good week, Julian. Yeah. Let's go over to you.
Mine was pretty straightforward, really. Hot run, in a hot long run on Sunday. Made for a pretty cruisy Monday. So I just ran to the Radford, did a session in the gym in the afternoon, did a normal Monday loop, which I go on now out to the Gong. Got a few hills in it, but really nice through the reservoir and the pine forest. And I always do some barefoot strides at the end, so that feels good. That included my barefoot strides. I was trying to work out what those squiggles were. That's all good. Tuesday, just easy run in the morning and in the afternoon. I was going to do a workout, but I was pretty beat up still, both from Radford gym session, also Sunday, still feeling it pretty strong in the legs. So just decided to go out and run a steady loop around a hilly course in the bush, and felt that was pretty good. Like I enjoyed that. I don't think I would have enjoyed a session that night, so I was happy to do that. Wednesday, had the day off, so went down and checked out some trails down Creswick Way. It was pretty warm. Really awesome spot to run, some single track on the Goldfields Trail that runs all the way out to Bendigo. It's like an amazing little single track. So that was really nice. Swam in the dam afterwards, which was really good. Went to see my podiatrist on Wednesday afternoon because I've got some pretty nasty plantar fasciitis going on. So he gave us some shockwave treatment, basically just diagnosed it, gave me some exercises to do. I'm sitting here as we speak in like a night splint thing that keeps it stretched out, so that's good. We'll see how I only got that today, so I was supposed to sleep in it tonight. We'll see how that goes. Then the next morning was workout day, so ran in the morning early and then went down the track. And this was always going to be a big session of mine. I just wanted to see where I was at. And this is like, sometimes it's fun to do those sessions that are like benchmark famous type sessions where everyone's done them and you've always done them throughout your career, so you know where you're at. And this was one of them, 6x1K with 3 minute rest. And so
can I stop you there, Brad? Have you ever done this session?
Not 3 minutes yeah. rest, or I wouldn't have done that many K reps off 3 minutes rest. I might have done a couple.
Didn't know this was a staple kind of session.
I reckon this is a staple, like 1-to-1 rest basically for K reps, and you run them at 5K pace or slightly faster.
I don't know if it's a 10K marathon man sort of session.
Yeah.
How do you mean?
Never heard about this session before.
You've never done 6x1K with 3 minute rest?
Never in all my years of distance running.
Yeah, right. Okay, well.
Brad, do you know? I'd never do 1K reps on the track though, because I don't have one. So
my first coach when I was doing like 1500s, he used to do some things off really long recovery, like 1K 15 minutes recovery, 500 15 minutes recovery. So like giving it absolutely everything. I don't know if I've done. Yeah, I wouldn't have done many sessions where I've had 3 minutes recovery between the Ks. If I did, it would have been right at the end of a season, like peaking for something, I reckon.
Yeah, well, the idea, I guess, behind the extra rest is if you're going to run over distance and try to hit the same pace but get faster, you need the rest.
Another thing. I've never done 6x1K and average 250 either.
Well, that's what I mean. The rest helps. So yeah. If I want to run 250 for this 5K, I need to do this. For me, was a real benchmark session. that's just how I know the session, and it's how I use the session, basically. So, yeah, we all do it differently, I guess. I think you'll find, like, a lot of people will have done this in the past, or a lot of people will do it, but...
Next week. Maybe not. Julian's doing the session, so, I've got to do it.
Yeah, and then... That's what I like. That a lot, I know a lot of people that have done it. So it's, I guess most people do 8x1K off a minute.
And yeah, done that a million times.
Yeah, it's not going to be that fast. 60 seconds, like the reps lose quality because of the low rest. Yeah. But it's not the same sort of workout as what this is.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was going to. It was a bloody hot night. I was going to progress them from. I was going to start out about 256. I ended up running 254, and I wanted to get faster. But the second rep really fucked me here, because you run the second rep at 250 with a plan to get faster every rep, and you're just digging yourself a real hole. But I was committed. Like, the session I was taking really serious. I knew it was going to be the big one for the week, and so I was really happy to roll through them. 254, 250. 250, 249, 247, and 246. And that gives me a lot of confidence for the 5K. So
is that 5K pace? Like, you would go out and try around 14:10?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
If there's a group going there,
yeah,
but we'll see. I'm confident I can close pretty quick. Like, if the first 2K goes a little slower, I reckon there's, like, I've got the strength that I can go, that I can close stronger, rather than I just think I can run it a few ways, not to sound like I'm cocky, but I feel fit at the moment, and I think in the right race I could run that time, but we'll see. Just bit of jogging Friday, like that session was very hard, so the next day I was smashed. Got in the gym, which also contributed to feeling cooked. So Friday, pretty tired. Saturday morning, did a fartlek over a hill course where I just didn't even look at the watch, really. I wore my heavy shoes and just did it quite easy without even caring about the pace or anything, and I felt really good after that. Like, felt better later in the run than the start. And then on Sunday, got another 30K in out in Canadian. Had a good group, picked it up late, which was good, and felt the best on the 30K run that I felt in ages. So I was really happy with the week, even though it wasn't the highest mileage. I think I did 155 or something. Plantar fasciitis gives me a bit of grief, especially sort of early morning and late night. Makes it a little unmotivating to get out in the mornings, but... working on it, so hopefully it doesn't hang around too long.
Yeah, it's a bit of a dodgy one if it does, doesn't it? Like, doesn't it
just... That's been going for weeks, though, hasn't
it? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's why you've gone and seen this osteo, though. Get it sorted now.
No, podiatrist. You know the difference?
Yeah, one of them looks at feet.
Yeah.
I don't know what an osteo does. I never know what osteos do. What does an osteo do?
Oh, they're like
voodoo magic.
They look at the whole
bit of massage, bit of chiro.
Yeah, they're like a whole body type operator.
Jack of all trades.
I see. Luke's my mate. He's a podiatrist. He's always been a good friend, and he's looked after me, and I trust what he says. And I'll do everything he tells me to do.
So you're going to push through this planter, though, like until the 5K? Because spikes and doing reps in 245, that's not going to be good for it.
That's 4%. Four percenters.
Did you do that in 4%ers?
Yeah. I'll race in 4%ers.
Four percenters. The winner from Nobio. Two blokes had 4%ers on over in Japan, me and the winner.
Really? The Japanese love their super flat shoes, though. They're gonna be hating on that.
Oh yeah,
they love like those tiny little Mizunos that have nothing underfoot.
Yeah, and like Adidas's as well. Yeah, just Oh, that was interesting. He had a brand new pair on, blue ones.
Oh yeah, the blues are out.
Debut 62. 62, come out and run 212. I'll send you the video, far out. There's three of them like duking it out with a K to go. And then this guy got on top of them.
We couldn't even get to the end, Brad, before he started.
But, yeah, well, I'm just trying to pump up the 4% to get the sales up at the shop, mate. Just back off a bit. He always sends me messages.
On the 4%ers, did you see the photo that Japanese guy put up that he ran 2,000 kilometres in a pair?
Yeah, I saw that.
No, he did not.
It's a 208 guy too. Why is he running so many kilometres in the one pair of shoes? He's sponsored by Nike.
You should see the photo, Julian. They're an absolute mess. There's nothing left of them.
Japan probably looks like mine up 300K.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, tell us about Japan.
Do you want to roll through me week, or you want to me go? I'll roll through me week because people might be interested in what you do the week before a marathon. Monday was pretty easy, 15K. Just took it easy. No, 17K. Took it easy, Tim the Bandit Bennett. Tim the Bandit Bennett actually was the guy who came up with the name of this podcast. That's a good fact for you. He helped me shortlist the names and come up with this one. Then what I do, I did a similar session to you on Tuesday, Brad. I did 5 by 1K, but just did them super slow. Tried to average 3:10, went to a place where there was just a real slow kind of trail and wasn't, you know, fixated on times, and just switched off and rolled those off a minute. That felt all right. I was still shaking that cold all week, and I still didn't get rid of it before race day, but I was kind of coughing up the lung in between the minute recoveries there. Wednesday, did an easy 12K in the morning and then got a massage in the afternoon and did 5K after that, feeling nice and loose. Thursday, I did just a 5K warm-up, and then I did... What did I do? Oh, 5 by 1 minute on 1 minute float, just to go and tick the legs over. Nothing special. 3 days out from the race. Friday, I flew to Tokyo, so I was on the plane at like 9 o'clock in the morning, so kind of left Bendigo at 5 a.m. Stayed at my parents the night before the flight because it was an easier drive. Got to Tokyo about 8 o'clock. It was freezing cold, and I was like hot from sitting on buses and airplanes and stuff, so I just wore me shorts and a long sleeve top, no gloves, thought I'd be tough. Jogged around the first corner from the hotel, rolled me ankle. You know those ones that you just roll and they're just annoying? You just kind of keep running through them for the sake of it. And I was like, oh, this isn't a good start for Tokyo. And did a bit of a lap around the Imperial Palace there. I didn't do the whole lap, just kind of did an out and back, and that was good. So many Japanese people just out there jogging, kind of cool to be around. And then the temperature just dropped. I think it was about 3 degrees by the time I finished, and I was freezing. So just did an easy 7K, 4:25 average, so was feeling good, feeling pretty fresh. Saturday, so the day before the race, did 8K, so I did the whole lap of the Imperial Palace, which was nice to do that, a nice little loop. And interesting, my heart rate was pretty high. I did some strides as well, but even when I was jogging, my heart rate was kind of, I don't know if it was just stuffing up, but it was pretty consistently at, you know, 135, 140-ish instead of 135, 130-ish, which it normally is at that pace. Don't know if there was anything in that, but felt good. It was good to jog in a different spot. And then Sunday, hit the marathon. So the race started at 12 o'clock, and I just went out for 2K nice and easy when I woke up at 7 o'clock in the morning and just kind of ticked the legs over and checked out how cold it was and what the weather was going to do. And, we had the race. So do you want me to give you a recap of the race now?
Oh, yeah, maybe beforehand. Tell us, because it was like a lunchtime start, how did you, I guess, work your carb load? Because normally, you know, you don't have much the morning of a race because you just go out and race. So did you have a big breakfast or?
It was pretty big. I probably had maybe 6 bits of toast with like jam on it. And a black coffee, and I also had a couple of Clif bars. I didn't eat a couple of Clif bars, but I had probably half of a Clif bar. And can you remember when Shots Nutrition sent us that box full of stuff? There was an energy bar in that as well.
Yeah,
I had that as well. So I kind of just smashed it out pretty early at breakfast. Like I would have had breakfast at maybe 7:30, so I still had plenty of time to digest that. And then had that stuff, but I didn't end up hitting my 900 carbs a day for the 3 days leading in, but it probably was around 500 or 600. I do have it written down here what I ended up totaling, but that was good. Like I heard, even the Chris, the guy who gave me the results from that test, told me that I might feel a bit tired and a bit kind of, you know, clunky on the Saturday beforehand, but I still felt fine. So I was hitting about 600 the 3 days leading in, which that 10 grams per body weight, that's about 580 for me. So similar to what you were talking about last week, Brad. So that felt good. The carb load was good. I had the gel the 10 minutes before the start with some water. And, Japanese. You've done Japanese marathon before, haven't you, Julian, as well?
Yeah.
And Brad, you've done one as well. So you guys know what it's like. Yeah. But just the efficiency and the professionalism, and it's a whole different world. Like, I absolutely had a ball just because they treat running in such a high regard, and it's all just so organized and efficient. And I had one of the best running experiences of my life. I just loved being a part of it for 2 or 3 days. So before the race, smashed down the gel. They kind of had us in this special call room kind of thing. Things were pretty tense in there. A lot of people kind of looking at me as this random Australian who's in here, and they kind of knew that I was over there as a kind of working with the Sydney Marathon. So I don't know if they liked that or not. No one gave me anything. No one looked at me. No one said anything to me. So I was feeling a bit intimidated there. And this race, the Nobioka Marathon, it's really it's a developmental marathon, they call it over there. So it's for a lot of guys who have ran 62-minute halves, and they're going to debut, and they're going to go out there and try run 2:10 on debut. Or it's for guys who have run kind of 2:12, 2:13, and they can go to this race and they can win it because they run for their corporations over there. So no prize money or anything like that, but if you can run for your Team Honda or Team Yakult or whatever it is and win this race, that looks really good for the company that you're running for, and it's worth winning. So this is the 57th year that this marathon's been going. As I said, no prize money, but it's regarded as a pretty big marathon in Japan. I think behind Biwa, Beppu, and Tokyo, this is the fourth biggest one there. So it was, I was having a ball in the environment, and then bloody windy. Like, I actually didn't realize, but the night before at the dinner, they were all saying how windy it was going to be, and I'd been keeping an eye on the weather just to know what was kind of coming. And when you check the weather for Japan, it gives it to you in meters per second, and I didn't realize that. So I was checking the weather and it just say 8, and I'm so used to seeing 8 as in 8 kilometers, like I would here in Australia, and thinking 8 kilometers is really not windy at all. But when I went back to my room after talking to these people the night before, they were saying how windy it was, and I went back to my room and Googled it, and I thought, I've got to work out what this 8 meters per second actually means. And yeah, that converted to about 28-30k winds. So I went to bed on the night before and I was like, this isn't going to be fun if it's this windy trying to hit a time. And Julian, you kind of were good the next morning when we were messaging about just don't look at your watch, just go out there and race a few guys, which I thought that was a pretty good plan, kind of throw all times out the window and just have a bit of fun out there. And I really had to remember just what I was there for. Like 5 weeks ago when I said I wanted to do this marathon, it was all about trying to finish strong and enjoy the Japanese experience. So I kind of took all pressure off myself to run fast. Got over there, hit the first K in 3:16, had two Japanese guys right behind me, and the lead pack was, they didn't go ridiculously quick. They probably went through in 3:10. A pack of about 15, 20 guys. And I thought, this is okay. You've got two guys here. We can work together. Three guys, that's enough to kind of form a little pack. And then they made their intentions clear that they didn't want to do any of the work. Went through the first 5K in, 16:47, which I was happy with. Like, pretty smooth. Nothing super fast. And the boys were still sitting on my shoulder, and then at about 7K, one guy caught us and then went straight past us and then put in this stupid little surge. It's something I would have done, last week. Like a Brady Trouble stupid surge. It's not going to do anything when you still got 35K to run. And then he came back to us pretty quick. So the vision on our Instagram page is when we're re-catching that little Japanese guy. So, I got to sit behind him for about 200 metres until we went past him. And then coming up to 10K, these three guys just started dropping off. Like, they were just a metre behind, and then 5 metres behind and 10 metres behind. And at this stage, we couldn't see the the front group at all. Like they went through in 15:05, I think. So they started rolling pretty quick through 5K. So they were off in the distance. These guys had dropped behind, went through 10K in 33:34, and was in no man's land and missed my drink. I'm not sure if you guys can remember how fancy the Japanese decorate their drink bottles.
I saw your Instagram of it, I think.
Far out. Like, there is tinsel, they got slings on them. And, like, so there was, like, 350 people in this marathon. But because they all take marathoning so serious, it doesn't matter if you're a 230 or a 235 or a 245 guy, you put in your personal drinks at the drink stations. So there was 15 drink stations. I put in my regular pop tops that I put in for every marathon. Never have an issue trying to see them on a table. You know, knew mine were on table two, get to 10K, like, cannot find my drink bottle at all. The wind's so, like, hard that it's knocking all the drink bottles over, so the officials are trying to, like, put their hands over all the drink bottles. And this was just me going through, like, in no man's land by myself. So I missed that one, which I was a bit annoyed about. I did carry a gel, though, so I carried two gels, so they didn't have a drink station at 5K, so I carried the gel that I was planning to pick up on my drink at 5K, and, yeah, so I got that down still, but missed the drink. So I was a bit kind of, at this stage, like 10K in, I'm like, well, far out. There's 30K winds here. I'm in no man's land. I've missed my first drink. Like, everything that could possibly go wrong was going wrong. And I kind of had this vision in my head that I'd get this beautiful sit through 35K and then I'd kick it home and run 2:19:45 or something like that. So I kind of had to reassess pretty quick and, yeah, just try to stay positive, roll through the 10K in 33:34. So I ran another 16:47, still couldn't see anyone. Got to 15K and had to double take. My drink wasn't, it was on table two, but couldn't find it. So I ran up to table three, couldn't find it there. I went back to table two and it was there. And then I, went going again. So that was another fluff up. So something else that went wrong and, done another 16:46 there and, was kind of just, went through a tough stage there because I really wanted to just be able to see somebody. I'm like, okay, I get this. I've ran, a large chunk of this by myself. Just give me someone who's dropping off the front group already so I can just focus on someone or chase someone down and just see someone off in the distance. And the Japanese fans were amazing. Like, they're yelling because the lead pack's gone through 5 minutes in front of me and then there's this token Australian guy running by himself, so they were really giving me some good support and stuff, but it was all starting to go pear shape. But I picked up a bit of a tailwind there and split 16:28 through to 5k, so to through to 20k, sorry, and that gave me a bit of confidence. Turned it halfway and then just got hit by this bloody shocking headwind. In that stage, I'd missed my drink bottle at 20 as well. I couldn't find it on my table, so I pulled out my emergency gel from my back pocket and I went to open it and I ripped it straight down the side. So it all just went straight over my gloves. So here I am at like 21K. I'm licking my gloves trying to get this gel in because I've already missed two drinks. And I'm like, and I'm getting hammered by this headwind. Went through 25K, 16:44, kept plugging away into this headwind, hit 30K in 16:54, and then got a bit of a tailwind, which was good. So, 30 to 35K, I ran 16:41, so my second fastest split for the day. And then, at about 35K, we kind of turned this corner, and I could finally see someone in the distance and just focused on them. And, finally caught them at 38K, and then pulled in three more guys, and I was waiting to hit the wall like I have the last three marathons, and it just didn't happen. And every K that went by, I just grew in confidence and more confidence, and it's a fantastic feeling finishing marathon knowing that you're not really struggling to the line. Like, I was just looking ahead, trying to find all these Japanese guys to pull in at the finish line there, and pulled in a couple more, and gave there was a big group of university kind of students there. They were kind of yelling a bit of support at 39K and gave them a bit of a fist pump. I was, getting pretty emotional that I wasn't going to absolutely have a shocker in those last three or four Ks like the last couple marathons. And then, rolled in, what was I, 2:21:41 for 13th position. Actually ran 33-34 from 30 to 40K, which was exactly the same split that I hit the start to 10K. So that was yeah, it gave me a lot of confidence that I could finish off there. And just to give you a bit of perspective, because these guys go, like they all went through, 15 guys went through in 65, trying to have their breakthrough run. But the guy who finished 10 seconds in front of me, he was a 62-minute half marathon guy debuting. The guy that finished 2 seconds in front of me was a 2:13 guy. Then there was me, the guy that caught with 50 metres to go was a 62-minute guy. The guy I caught with a K to go's PB was 2:13. The guy I caught with 4K to go, his PB was at 2:15. And the first guy I caught, he was a 62:58 guy. So that puts you in perspective of how much these guys absolutely go for it. And they rather run 2:12 or blow to absolute pieces. But, yeah, not an ideal race for a guy like me. I've spoken for a while now. But, yeah, that was pretty much a time trial in super windy conditions. And, yeah, super proud that I could just harden up and get the job done and just, yeah, hit a consistent split. And it excites me for what I can do with a group and not a windy day going forward.
What was your halfway split, sorry?
I actually don't know because they didn't have a clock there. They had a clock everywhere but there. But I think it was
you
about...
You see it on Strava.
I think it was... No, because I was hitting my watch every 5K.
You still see it.
How do you see it?
I'll show you. I'll have a look.
Have a look. I think
you
it was
asked
about,
the question, but
I think it was about
70-30.
Yeah, something like 70, that, yeah.
70-30, yeah. What was my question? I think it was a great result because it's quite easy to get negative when you wake up in the morning and the conditions are like that. And we said a couple of times last week that, like, that's the cruelest thing about the marathon, I reckon, is the weather. You just, you know, because you put in, or you didn't in this case, but you often put in 12, 16 weeks just committed to that one day and you wake up and it's blowing a gale like it was in Melbourne a couple of years ago. And, you know, it's very easy to get into a really negative mindset. So I think you did well to stay positive during that.
It was very similar. I was at that Melbourne, well, I wasn't at Melbourne Marathon that day, but I got off the plane from Europe that same day and remember watching the flags when we landed at the airport, and it was very similar weather to that day, kind of 30K winds. I'm not sure if I sent you guys a video. I think I put it on Instagram, just on my Instagram stories.
Yeah.
But the flags are absolutely, hammering kind of thing. And you're right, like, I think that's a lesson for everyone. Like, I pretty much had two options at 15K. I could have went into a bit of a pity party and, like, poor me, and jogged it in, really. Thought about it a couple of times. I'm like, just run 2:24. No one cares. You're probably going to finish in the same. We're going to finish 16th or something. Like, it's not going to be a massive difference. You know, you've got a bit of a cop out saying you only had a 5-week build up. But yeah, I just kept going back to just get to the next 5K and think about the positives. And I wouldn't look at my watch in between my 5K segments because I didn't kind of want that information. But then I'd get to, you know, 25K and go, oh, that was another 16:45. Like, and I'd kind of gain confidence from, how I was tracking along the way.
I think you're learning.
Yeah, I was stoked. Like, I was, and getting a bit more nutrition down. And, and I think I said on my Instagram post, like, I'm not scared of the marathon anymore. Like, I still really, really respect it. But I know now that I can run it. And that could be the hardest marathon of my life, I think, with conditions-wise. So if I can just put, I'm a bit disappointed that the effort I put in isn't reflected in the finishing time. Like I'm saying that's probably the greatest running performance I've had. I think there were so many things that went wrong and I just, got through it and showed a bit of resilience. And, that was hard. Like it was almost like doing a 42K time trial and you're going to run 2:21:40. In hail and winds. Yeah, like I think that's harder than what I've actually done in Berlin and harder than my PB and harder than my track and half marathon PBs with people around me.
So here's a question for you, because we do know that you love a bike escort around the industrial state.
Man, I was thinking about those guys. I'm like, where are you now?
Do you think, though, that not having them sometimes prepares you a bit better for the situation that you're in on the weekend?
Oh, 100%. If I didn't live in Echuca, so I use those guys kind of half, but then, you know, the majority of my training is done solo. Like, and most of my sessions, like 8x1K or whatever, are all done solo because I won't pull out the boys on the bikes for that. But I definitely had to tap in those into those reserves of, you know, you've done 40K long runs by yourself before, you've done 15 or, you know, 30K tempos, but, like, I'm not sure if I did come from a group training environment, I would have been able to, yeah, run that solo. Because, shit, that was, it was 30K. Like, I ran 8K, I saw someone, then didn't see anyone until 38K. Like, there was 30K in the middle there where I just had these crazy Japanese fans, like, I don't know what they were yelling, but they were up and about, and it was cool, but it was like, yeah, there was no respite at all to just kind of get a bit of a break and just switch off the mind and sit behind someone for a while.
Mm.
So, yeah, I think it was character building, and I'm looking forward to, it gives me a lot of confidence going forward, which is good. And the carb stuff, like just getting, in the end, I pretty much got down 2 gels an hour and about 200 mils of sports drink in both the hours as well. So maybe 70 grams per hour, which was good that we planned for 90 because I missed them and hit 70. Whereas if I planned for 70, I might have missed them and only hit 50. And then I may have been in trouble. But, yeah, beautiful. I'm so grateful for Wayne Lard and the Sydney Marathon Festival. I felt like an absolute superstar over there. Like, I did live TV interviews that went out to, like, 1.3 million the night before the race. Their dinners, Julian and Brad, did you guys go to their, like, pre-race dinners?
No, I wasn't looked after at all for my debut in Nagano. I got shooed off the start by the police.
Oh, did you?
So, yeah, it was a different experience for me.
Oh,
so sure, B-Wire will be better.
This dinner the night before, like, they literally, like, introduced the elite runners. I didn't get, like, this is just their top guys, and they, like, put a big spotlight on them. They run across the stage. They do a big bow. Like, they're almost treated like AFL stars are in Victoria. Like, they're huge deals. Like, they're signing autographs. They're getting photos before and after the race. Like, it was just so good to see the running regarded that highly. Mm.
Yeah, and a few few beverages after the race?
Yeah, yeah. So, we were just treated like, rock stars, as I said. Like, they really looked after us. The main sponsors are the main sponsors for some of the Sydney Marathon stuff. So they took us out for dinner afterwards and, had some fantastic Japanese food and, yeah, they taught me how to use chopsticks and I think I made the right decision going to this race, like, with the goal to experience a Japanese marathon, because I think I really did experience the very high end of getting, like, I literally didn't open my wallet for 2 days. Like, everything was paid for. I'm very grateful to have the opportunity and I think that's why I wanted to run hard through those. Like, I didn't want to let people, not that I would have let Wayne or Sydney Marathon down if I did run 2:25, but I actually wanted to, I was saying before the race, I want to run 2:19 and hopefully come top 15 or top 10 or whatever, like, to kind of do the Sydney Marathon proud and, like, almost, yeah, ratify the invitation.
I think you did well.
Yeah, great. Thanks, boys. Thanks for all your support leading into it. It was good to share some conversations when you're cacking your dacks in the hotel room a couple of hours before.
Yeah, you were pretty active on the socials right up to the race.
Yeah, and I think that was another thing, like, because Wayne and I had a conversation. So he should be coached by Dick Telford, 2:16 guy, 64-minute half marathon guy, 28 10K. I know you know him, Brad, but it was good just chilling out with him a bit, and we kind of spoke about how important it is to be relaxed before the race, and I was 1 out of 10, like, an hour beforehand we were very relaxed, and he kind of said that Dick Telford used to coach him, and he used to say, like, how important it is to be relaxed before a race, because you can burn so much glycogen when you're stressing out before a race. So that was good, and I think it was good for me to be in that relaxed and not stressed out environment. And I didn't do the maths in my head. I actually didn't know what time I was running, which I think was a good thing as well. I just kind of, I just had, like, flashbacks to you at Berlin, Julian, like, just running strong over those last, like, I wasn't running as strong as you were, but I wasn't getting any slower, and I was just like, this is actually, marathons are fun. They can be fun. They can be enjoyable, and, it's turned the page for me with marathon running.
Yeah, I remember having that exact same feel it was at my Japanese marathon, actually.
Yeah.
And I only ran, like, it wasn't fast at all, 2:28. I had a shit build up. But I remember finishing, like, getting to about 30, 3K or something and just going, you know what, this is good. I'm good today. Mm. And running an even split and finishing the race, thinking, now it's time. Now I know I can do it and I can do it properly. And, I mean, it was a slow time, yet I was happier with that than any other race I'd ever done. Mm. Because I wasn't, like, I'm pretty sure my title on Strava run was finally figured it out or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's exactly yeah. how I felt. I'm like, yeah, 100%. I'm like, all right, I've been there now. I know what it feels like. And you're still cooked. Like, I couldn't have went much faster. Like, we went over this bridge with, like, 600 meters to go, and I was getting a bit wobbly there, but it was just kind of like tired wobbly, not like you've ran out of glycogen wobbly. And like, yeah, it was just, even though like not having to go to the medical tent after the race, like you just, yeah, in a good spot there, which was, and those Japanese guys, they gave me nothing before the race, but they were so lovely after the race. They, like the winner came up to me and asked if he could have a photo with me. Like he just ran, have I said this already? Just ran 2:12 on his debut. He just comes up, just like really quietly spoken, could I please get a photo? I'm like, yeah, for sure, man. Like, definitely. And the pacemaker came up, and the guy who'd won it the last 2 years came up, and yeah, just amazing people. And as a country and those towns and stuff, I couldn't recommend. I know some of them are hard to get into for some people, but if you get an opportunity to race in Tokyo, or Japan, take it.
And their Instagram caption, smash this vlog today.
Yeah, it probably would be that in Japanese. Not sure why they invited this bloke over. Yeah, no, but I think actually they respected me, because when we went to the turnaround, they just saw that I was out there in no man's land, but I was having a crack. Like, it wasn't like I was just, I think in the past there may have been people that go to that race to represent, you know, get the kind of free trip, and they might run 2:30 or 2:45, but they're on a bit of a junket maybe, and that's just, yeah, I think they respected that I was, yeah, kind of rolling the dice and grinding out there myself.
Yeah.
A couple of them had added me on Instagram, so I will have to do a bit of Google Translate to see what they're putting on there.
Yeah.
Hey, let's move on though. Thanks for that recap, and thanks for giving me the opportunity. So we're not going to have a guest this week, because I knew I'd bang on about that for a while, and yeah, I hope the listeners appreciate that.
No, it's good. People are like that. I like listening to it.
Yeah, and I think with Brad coming up and your 5K as well, Julian, like, I think if we're going to talk about our build-ups of these things, it's a shame just to rush over the race results. Oh, one thing I got, like, this is another thing that went wrong for me. Don't do this on race day, Brad, but the Japanese streets are, like, super, like, clean and stuff, so I felt bad about chucking the top off my gel onto the ground, because I wasn't sure of etiquette. I'm like, I don't want to be this, because I was out there by myself too. I couldn't just hide it. So I just put the top of me gel just down my shorts, like tucked in the elastic band, and didn't think, I've done that a few times when I don't want to litter, like in a Chuka Moama, but I got to like 25K and I'm like, what is this like rubbing like up me bum crack? Like I couldn't work out what it was. And it's the plastic from me gel. So here I am like running along, like trying to find this bloody plastic thing down my shorts. Finally find it, and then I drop me pop top in me other hand at the same time. I'm like, oh, you are kidding. Like, yeah, every drink I nearly stuffed up. It was chaos. I still don't know how I ran 2:21 out there. Yeah. But litter.
More practice, maybe.
More practice. Yeah. Stuff, yeah. But, yeah, hey, let's move on to some news, because we got some, this is some good news for the show. Gwenny Jorgensen, Julian, remember her?
Oh, briefly. Briefly remember.
Remember slagging her off?
No, I don't remember slagging her off. I remember giving you my thoughts on her suggestion she would win an Olympic gold medal in the marathon.
I think we all slagged her off, though, yeah. She's come out and run 15:15 for 5K.
Yeah, well, that's a great 5K time. Full stop.
Mm-hmm.
Speed's
up indoors. I read on Let's Run today as good as 14:45. If you have a shocker at Melbourne Uni, she could get you here.
You know what Craig Mottram ran for 5K?
Calling out Mottram.
He ran 12:56 or 5? I don't know. It's like 5Ks are all well and good, but this girl needs to win an Olympic gold medal in the marathon. Like, that's what she said she's going to do. Plus, she hasn't even, like, it's a good start, and it's impressed me a lot. And there's probably not much more she could have run here to impress me, but that doesn't mean she's any closer to achieving her goal than when we first started, in my mind.
As if you did you think she was a 15-15 girl when she put out that first statement, though?
I did. I did, Brady.
Well, there's talk that maybe you should pay up the slab already now, Julian, just to get it on ice.
Yeah, talk from Brad.
There's talk about it.
He doesn't even drink beer.
Yeah. So I believe our bet, though, it wasn't that she win the gold medal. It was her making the US marathon team.
Yeah, I'll still take it.
Yeah, all right. Well,
double it.
Double it.
Yeah.
Two slabs, anyway, boys. We agree on two slabs.
It's an impressive start.
She's got 3 years, too. This is the most impressive thing.
She'll be prepared for the marathon.
She'll cook herself. Done.
All right, next bit of news. Rack half marathon. These guys and girls go fast here every single year. But this year, insanely fast. And it makes us look so slow, especially when you compare the male and the female times. I was sitting with Wayne, actually, at the airport when I started reading these times out to him, and he was a pretty elite runner, and the females just banged out a pretty similar time to his PB. Fancy, Chen Mutai, just misses a world record and runs 64 minutes and 53 seconds. Missed it by 2 seconds. She's now number two all time. Phenomenal, boys. That is moving.
So where is that half marathon? Where's Rack?
It's in the United Arab Emirates somewhere, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a few over there.
I reckon the women's marathon world record is going to go down in the next year or so. Like, these girls are running so fast over half that they're going to have to run, you know, 2:14, 2:15. You'd have to think. If you can run 64:53... Put you in that range.
Do the math on it.
Do the math. Double by seven. That worked for me pretty much. Exactly what I ended up with.
Yeah, well, that's more like 2:17 then for her, for Fancy.
Yeah, you ever heard of her?
Yeah. No.
Neither, right.
But
I've seen the head before because it's a very distinguished like noggin. I looked at it and thought, ooh, like, I've seen this before. And I remember thinking, this is a strong jawline for a lady. Did you think the same?
I haven't seen a photo of her, but I'd fancy a 64:53 half marathon PB.
Oh, I know. It's bullshit. I don't even like looking. I just skip these results.
See what I did there? No?
I think I did. But I was like, has he gone there? I wasn't sure if he went
there.
Is that
the first joke Brad has ever said? We're up to 15 episodes, he hasn't said a joke yet. And that was the one.
Just to clarify, were you saying, just go through that joke again.
So I said, I haven't seen her face, but I would fancy a half marathon PB of 64:53.
Oh, because her first name's Fancy.
I thought
you wanted to make her your wife.
Such a school teacher.
All those dads out there would be laughing.
All those nerdy school teacher PE teachers. The PE teachers are just like giggling away to themselves.
All right, who won the men's?
No, well, I want to stay with the females for another reason because Mary Kataney, she was a runner-up, and we know how much damage she can do over the marathon. She was runner-up, and she's now been the runner-up twice in this race, and both times got done for people who have come close to breaking the world record. But she was, 64:55.
Yep, second.
Second.
That's right.
And she's 36.
Who knows how old she is?
She's the lady who's gonna smash this world record at London.
I would not go talking about a Kenyan's age. Did you see that? Oh, we're getting off track, but Jake, the Robertson's article.
Yes,
this week.
Yeah, fantastic. We'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah, bloody good article.
Very good read. I love that. I reckon we could nearly snag him for an interview. You know.
Okay. Well.
He's done some podcasts which are lesser than us, I reckon. And I reckon
he did that junkie podcast, rubbish.
Yeah, I'm trying to get you on that one.
I won't.
Endurance junkie.
That guy asked that Ali Kiefer from that one, oh, that was ran that big PB at New York, yeah. Basically just like body shamed her on the show, and she got Bree and I were listening, just cringing to the questions that were, he was asking and the comments he was making, and Ali Kiefer just getting pissed. You could hear her.
Yeah, right.
Quite uncomfortable.
Oh, there we go. I reckon we could get her as well.
Yeah. Well.
But yeah, Mary Cataney, that's a good half marathon, probably heavy in a marathon block leading into London. But beating Kuroki, he was number fourth all-time half marathon. He ran 58.42. This is ridiculous. I think our man Blake Hose called it out on Facebook somewhere and just asked, is the course short? Like, these are ridiculously fast times.
Yeah, well, they're good runners. Like, I mean, there's so many of them now. It's a little bit like, you just lose touch with it. It's almost like it's you just lose perspective on it all. It's like, oh, there's another one. Oh, there's another one. Another 204. Six 204 guys sprinting for the line. Like, I had nine people under 60 minutes or some shit. Like, it's just a new threshold of what's good.
Mm.
And it's not 61 minutes anymore. Yeah. Well, it is, but it is and it isn't, you know. Like, if there was another world outside of African distance running, like, it's still really good. It's just African distance running is in the next level. It's like they have their own Olympics, pretty much.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. Hey, just an update on the Facebook guessing competition, because things got pretty hot this week, so we just need to give a bit of an update. So my official time at Nobioka was at 2:21.41, and our man Christian from Norway come in with 2:21.42. So he's winning. He's got a difference of 1 second at the moment. Glenn McMillan is a Chukamoama man as well. He runs the pro circuit over the summer. He guessed 2:21.43, so he's behind 2 seconds. And James Howe is in third spot, 2:21.37, so he's 4 seconds behind. It's amazing how many people ended up entering this competition, boys.
Yeah, it was cool to see.
Throw up $1,000 and see what happens.
Oh, yeah, right. I think it's more fun and games. I know you wrote something on Facebook about it.
I didn't write $1,000. We spoke about that last week. Yeah, do you have some formula on spreadsheets that can work this stuff out, though? Because if Brad has a blinder or he has a shocker, this is going to make things very interesting. It almost enters everyone else back into the competition.
Yeah, like, what happens if they DNF?
Then you just look at yours and Brady's time, I suppose. Because let's hope that doesn't happen.
What is DNS?
No,
I'll be there.
Two in a row.
So to put it in comparison, like, Peter Dutton, he was 6 seconds. Jack Mahoney, he was 11. Matt Davies. See, some of these guys, I don't know how they predicted 2:21. Like, these guys who are actually winning this competition shouldn't be winning, because they didn't even know it was going to be 30K headwinds and I had to run by myself for the whole way.
Yeah, they got lucky.
They got lucky, these guys.
They actually thought you were in 2:22 shape. They thought, I'll be generous, give him 20 seconds.
Sammy McLean, Sammy should know
better. Got lucky with the win.
He sent me a message the day before. He, like, quoted some, like, Sweat Elite, like, Facebook page thing, like, trying to pump me up. He's got me down here for 2:21.25. Come on, Sammy.
Well, so what do we got here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So you've got the top nine at the moment. All of their predictions for me, I would take every single one of those. So that's, yeah. So hopefully that's a good sign.
Brad, after somewhat, I'm not going to say I mastered the marathon, but I had a positive experience in the marathon, that you should absolutely be confident to run most of those times right there. If you get your nutrition right, the training I did to run what I did in the conditions I ran in, if you're in BWO and have a huge pack, you are laughing.
Yeah, let's
have confidence.
Crossed,
confidence
goes to plan.
Confidence.
Well, I've just had a look at the long term weather forecast. -2 to -8. 30 k an hour winds with gusts of 50 k.
Yeah,
that's the long term.
And it's out and back too, BY, isn't it? Like, you go along that lake there, so you get smashed by it.
Yeah. Well, so we'll see. Can't control that.
It's going to make the competition very interesting. And thanks to all those people that entered. Nationals predictions, Australian Athletics Championships this weekend. And it's I can never remember it being this loaded before. Can you, boys?
Nah, middle distance and is so good at the moment.
Oh, so many names there. Who wants to run us through them? I've been a bit out of the loop with this stuff, being overseas and haven't been up to date with it.
All right, we'll start off with all the men's competitions. So men's 800, I guess the favourites here are Luke Matthews, Jeff Risley, Alex Rowe, Peter Boll, Josh Rauf, Mr. Deng, and Dylan Stenson. So who's your pick there?
Matthews.
Yeah, is he going to double? Yeah. He'll do the 15 as well?
Yeah, he's down for the 15.
Yeah. I can see that bloke making both teams.
Yeah. I'll take Matthews.
I'll go Matthews as well.
The 800's not... It's not as loaded as the 15, though, is it? Like, I think he's going to have more trouble in the 15 than he will the 8.
Yeah, but I don't think you can write off someone like Risley either. You know, like, he ran, 146 in Canberra?
Well, he has an A qualifier. He only needs to come second to make the team.
Yeah. Yep. So
does Matthews have the A qualifier?
Does who?
Matthews.
Yes.
Yeah.
So in that sheet, like on this sheet, the ones in bold I highlighted as having A qualifiers.
Jeez. Hmm. 1 week you're investigative journalist and then you step up with these bold and text.
Did this in 2 minutes while I was eating my Zupa-Dupa waiting for you to call.
Yeah.
Women's 800. So Keely Small, Brittany McGowan, Georgia Griffith, Abby DeLaMotte, and Lauren Reed would be the more higher profile girls in it. And my pick, Georgia Griffith, who has the A qualifier, I don't think I've seen her lose this summer. She has been amazingly impressive.
Yeah, I think she's got multiple A's. Like, you look at the rankings at the moment and her name's up there a lot. So, but I'll go for someone different. Brittany McGowan will be there or thereabouts.
Yeah, what is the A? What time?
Don't ask that.
I'm just saying, because I'd love to see some of these females go under 2 minutes. Like, it's been a while.
The A is like, 201.
Yeah, I want to say 159. Georgia Griffith
it's 201, the A qualifier.
Yeah, but a 159, just be good to see, wouldn't it? Like, and that's, yeah, just need to punch a 56 and just hang on.
The Georgia Griffith's the only one who's been close to it lately.
Yeah, that'd be a good viewing. Men's 1500, this is going to be the pick of the meet, doesn't it?
This would be big. This is a great race. Mm,
yeah.
There's some good, the thing is, there's some good athletes not going to make the team here.
Yeah, well, I'll just rattle off a few. So we've got Gregson, Geordie Williams, Matthews, Guzman, Matt Ramsden, McEntee, Rory Hunter, James Hansen. Like, there's just so many guys that are high 330s to low 340s. I don't know who to pick there. Like, and the form is unknown for a lot of these guys as well. Like, Matthews has raced, but I haven't seen anything from Gregson for a long time. Geordie's raced a bit. Guzman's due for like a massive result, I reckon. Like, he's a star. I may be a bit biased because he's from Canberra at the moment, or lives in Canberra now. But,
made a team, though.
No, he hasn't. I'm gonna put Guzman up there to make the team.
Well, he needs to win. He has to win, or he has to come second and run an A.
Yeah, that's all right. He'll do it.
Who are the other two? Who's second and third?
Matthews.
Close your eyes, point at the screen. This is harder to pick than Melbourne Cup winner.
Matthews and Gregson.
So, for me, like, there's Gregson, Williams, Matthews, and McEntee, who all have A qualifiers. You've got Ramsden, Guzman, Matthews, Williams, Gregson, who all can kick home and would back their kick in, I reckon. To me, this is going to be, like, a slow race, I reckon. You might have a few guys pulling along, hopefully
Hanson would go for it, wouldn't he? Like, wouldn't he just be like, oh, I don't have the
time?
There's
got to be some of those blokes that have to go for it, which might work.
Tommy Thorpe, he went a couple of years ago at Nationals, went off the front.
Yeah. I remember. But this is, yeah, these guys can kick. This is a kicker's race almost. Like, and the four of them have the A qualifier, so they don't care. Like, they're going to sit back and come first or second and get picked.
Is Risley, it's Guzman and Ramsden that really have.
Pardon?
No, Risley for the 1500.
Is he not in the race?
No, I don't think so.
Ooh.
Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah, good race.
Good race.
I will pick Matthews, Williams, Gregson.
Nah, I'm going to go Gregson. Just the experience.
Oh, no, yeah, that was just the three to get in the team.
Not to win it.
Oh, shit. Gregson, Gregson knows how to win a race, that's for sure.
Knows how to win. He hasn't raced, though, has he? Like, I think Sammy McLean. Just had a dig at him 20 minutes ago, but I'll kudos him for this one. He put a good thing on the Facebook maybe about interested to see how they go, because they've come straight from Falls Creek pretty much. I think they're down now, but they haven't had, like, Guzman's had four or five races, hasn't he, Brad?
Yeah, he's raced a fair bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I discussed this with Collis on our long run about how they haven't been on a track, and he said that's why they stayed early January, December, in Melbourne to get all that, to get a lot more track work in and then go up. So they've had a lot of track work early in the year. So yeah, that was the discussion or the answer to that question.
Well, just on Instagram though, he's been putting up a few videos lately and he's humming along. Like, I don't know if he's just getting people to videotape him doing strides, but he's flying.
Mm. So in the ladies, this is like these four girls race and have been the top of this distance for a long time. But Zoe Buckman, Jenny Blundell, Heidi C, and Lyndon Hall. All three have the A except Heidi C, so she needs to win the race. She needs to win it. I think she has a B qualifier, so that will get her the win. That will get her in the team. The other three need to come first or second to make the team.
And then the 5K, this be our man, Pat Tiernan.
Yeah.
So this is stacked as well, though. You got Tiernan, McEntee, Brett Robinson, Morgan McDonald, Stewie McSween, Dave McNeil, and Jack Rayner. Like, that's pretty good depth right there. But, I'm going to go Paddy Tiernan. It's really hard because most of them are Badoo. Those guys, and you just don't know what form they're in. I don't know, it's really hard, but I'll go Tiernan, Morgan McDonald, and I'll go Dave McNeil.
I'm gonna back Stewie McSween, Tiernan, and McEntee.
No Brett Robinson from both of you boys.
Oh, it's been unknown. We haven't seen him anywhere.
Olympic finalist, world champs finalist.
Yeah.
Come off some good half marathons. He's fit. He's got to be fit. Is he fast? Like he doesn't like getting beaten. He's got pretty big swagger.
I thought he might have been injured not long ago, though.
Haven't seen him on Strava.
Yeah.
Not that means anything.
Check his Instagram account. Has he been putting any running stuff on there?
He's just lessening the noise.
Yeah, maybe. Lessen the noise before a big performance.
Chicks or ladies, that might get. Hopefully that doesn't get me in trouble.
Yeah, I've done that before too. You're correct with yourself.
Eloise Wellings, Heidi C's entered, Jen Lacaze, Madeline Hills, Melissa Duncan, Emily Brickachek, and Lyndon Hall, who has an A qualifier, who has not entered the race. So the only two with A qualifiers there, Madeline and Eloise. I don't know what these girls, what form they're in, so I'll just basically back Eloise, who I always have trouble not backing, because any time I don't back her, she comes out and destroys it.
Yeah. Is Lyndon Hall really, really not entered?
Well, I can't see her on the entry list.
Boys, we had Robbo was on 2 weeks ago. Do you not listen to his audio saying how she doesn't want to race it? She's going to focus on the 1500.
Didn't hear it.
Yeah.
Missed it.
Don't listen back to your own voice.
No, I listened to the interview. I just didn't I missed that.
That was a little exclusive we had in the middle. Yeah, no, she stated there that she's happy to, even though solid over the 5K, focus on the 1500.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I don't know who's going to win that.
Steeplechase, oof, geez. Stuart McSween's my pick, and he's going to need to get an A. What, he got a B qualifier already? So he just needs to win. The winner goes, basically, out of this race. The winner will go.
But I guess in this situation, Stewie's already on the team. So if he won and didn't get the B, he's already on the team for the 10K. So yeah, they would let him. They could potentially let him run the steeple anyway if he wanted to. So, yeah.
If the timetable worked out for it.
Yeah. So
did it?
I'll go Stewie and James Nipperis for second.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's good. The females, you only got two down there, with Kaz and Mitchell. Victoria Mitchell's made a few teams. She'll be keen to knock up another one.
Yeah, and who knows how Genevieve Lacaze is travelling, I don't know. I believe she's only just back into training, so...
Inside running exclusive. Another one.
I'm an Instagram... I look at Instagram, I saw something about her first tempo back or something that just suggests that she hasn't been doing that much. Yeah.
Heard your first, ladies and gents.
I mean, she's our best steepler, so I'm going to pick her. It'd be hard to pick against her. She's bloody made, what, Olympic finals.
Australian record holder.
Exactly.
All right, good recap. That's all on Athletics Australia. You're going to have a live stream Thursday through Sunday. So if you're sitting around and you've got your computer open, plug that open and watch some good athletics.
Don't miss that. Do not miss it.
When's the 15 and the 5 on? Just let the listeners know.
5's on Thursday night, 8:15.
Okay, good. Yep, good. What about 15?
And then 15, shit, I just had that up.
Hey, I'm on Athletes Australia website here now. They got the rankings up. My time from Nobuyoka's not on here.
Ran it like 2 days ago.
Yeah, it says update the 13th of Feb. They got me down for the half marathon. I'd be on top. That's the only reason. I want to get a screenshot of that.
How many people are on the list?
Four? No, three. One's Ethiopian. Hey, you got to take it. I've got to get a screenshot of this before you race in Lake Biwa in a couple of weeks.
Anyway, let's move on.
What are you going to take a photo and pin it on the Moama Bowling Club notice board, eh?
Mate, just signed a couple more years with Moama Bowling Club. They'll be very happy to see that kind of representative number one ranked in Australia. Thank you very much. Commonwealth Games here.
You got to talk kit after this as well. I forgot.
Oh, yeah, I need you to get some kit for me.
So... should we move on to the listener question?
Yeah, we should. And this is an interesting one because I think it's come from Richard Parasram, and I think it's someone who's not involved deeply in the athletics world, and I think it kind of brings up a really good point about stopwatches and performance enhancing. Do you want to read it out, Julian?
Yep. Do you know if there's been any question about whether watches should be banned during races? If they're effectively pacemaking devices, so shouldn't be allowed. Or is there a certain level where you're not allowed to use them on the track, for example? Not sure if the Olympic 5Kers are allowed to wear them. So there's a big difference between knowing splits and pacemaking. So knowing a split, people have been given splits since the beginning running, really. Like, there's been clocks and timers forever. And they're allowed, like anyone's allowed to know their splits if there's a clock there. So it's the same, essentially the same as having one on your wrist. I think like it's kind of like power meters with cycling. If you're getting all this data and you're racing off all this data, it can get a little boring. Like that's the main complaint from the Tour de France is they're all on their wattages. They know exactly where they're hitting. No one's going outside their set wattages, and it's just like very monotonous. And I think that could be one way where if you took away the watches, you would get a more exciting race potentially, or if someone didn't know exactly where they were. But I don't think they're that performance enhancing. I mean, it can be helpful, but I think it's even detrimental to performance in many ways. So I like racing without a watch. I think it improves performance. And they're certainly not banned on the track. There's no way those guys can't, like, there's a clock at every 200 meter mark. So
yeah,
they're getting a clock on either side. They know their splits. They've got people yelling it to them.
Yeah, no one in the Olympic 5,000 meter championship is putting their watch on at the start line.
Aren't they?
I don't think so. I reckon I've seen
an African with a watch on before.
Yeah, but actually turning it on and then hitting it across the line.
Maybe. I don't know. I'll go back. I'll try and find some footage.
Yeah, right.
That's cool.
Good for your Strava followers, I reckon.
But yeah, even clocks, though, there's clocks for the marathon as well. And even the marathon's got that advance now that, you know, we saw at Berlin that there's a car that basically tells you exactly what pace you're running at. The leaders. So if the leaders get that, you can't really ban clocks, can you? Well, you'd have to get rid of that. You'd have to get rid of all of those.
Yeah, it goes through our discussion last week about, like, pacemakers for some athletes but not pacemakers for other athletes. Like, imagine if every athlete had that massive BMW that was, like, doing predicted finish time on their, like, out the front of Berlin. That's performance enhancing, isn't it?
It can be an advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a disadvantage.
Yeah, depends who you are.
Yeah. I think if you start banning stuff like that, you're getting into some pretty murky territory.
Yeah. And that's a great segue, murky territory, to Moose on the Loose. Hope we answered your question, Richard.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to keep this pretty general and pretty brief because I actually don't want to offend anybody. I've got friends that...
And before you say too much, I don't want to have to re-record this, so...
But I've got friends that have done this. I know people who do this. And there are certain times when this is very important, like raising money for charities, that kind of thing. And this isn't actually a rant about charity runners. I could probably do one of those at a different time, but I won't. It's not in the way you think, but it's about GoFundMe pages for people that want to go and do a destination race. So, for instance, there's a few kind of examples of this. One of them could be someone who qualifies for the Boston Marathon, right? Qualified at Melbourne Marathon, and all of a sudden they think, geez, I've got this Boston qualifier. I've got to go and do Boston while I can, while I'm fit. How am I going to get there? I can't afford it. Oh, GoFundMe. I start an internet page. I ask all my friends for money so that I can get a flight overseas, so I can stay in a hotel near the race. I can eat really well before, have a few days afterwards. This is how I'm going to get there. So they put up a GoFundMe. They say, help Simon get to the Boston Marathon. He's qualified. This is a life dream of his. And it's like, oh, like, I have dreams too, but I'm not asking anybody for money. Like, I save my money and I go over there once a year max. Maybe I'll go over once every couple of years if I can't afford it. Like, this, I don't want to fund your hobby. If it'd be the same thing as, like, if someone played footy on the weekend and they said, oh, I'm going to go play footy at Aubrey this year. Do you guys mind funding my petrol money to get to the games? Like, because I can't, like, I really want to play there and it's a dream of mine to play for my old club, Aubrey, and I can't afford the petrol to get there. So do you mind I'll start a GoFundMe and you guys all chip in and I'll get there and I'll play and then it'll be great. I'll have a great time. Thanks for all your support. Oh, it doesn't agree with my morals.
Footy's a terrible example because they get paid a stack.
But this is a hobby though. Like, this is someone who's hobbying it. Like, yeah, let's say golf then. Golf, I really want to, like, my dream is to play on Pebble Beach.
Yeah, Rich River Golf Club.
Oh, give it a spell.
That's not the Mullet Bowl Club.
They pay you as well, do they?
We're in competition with those guys. Don't go there, actually. Do not go to Rich River. Go to Mullet Bowl Club.
Yeah, I know. But do you guys consider this acceptable?
Yeah, well, look, can I jump in first? Because I am an ambassador for community living and respite services. So we do run Melbourne every year, and we do that as a fundraiser. And we are encouraged to set up our fundraising pages and get on social media and promote that and ask for donations to do Run Melbourne to raise money for this house that we're building for people with a disability. But
question on that, yep, before you get into it. Do you pay your entries to the race?
The Moham and Bowling Club pays everyone's entries who does it, so about 230
people. Okay, yeah, well, that's quite different.
But the point I mean,
you're a concentrated charity effort. This is totally different to what I'm talking about. Yeah,
but I do really, in that my first year doing it, I found it not super uncomfortable, but I was just getting over putting up the status saying, you know, guys, I'm doing this fundraiser, this is where the money's going, can you hook me up with, you know, a $20 donation or a $10 donation or whatever. I find that really hard to ask for money, but what I do instead now is I try to provide an event or an experience that I can raise money that way. So like last school holidays, I did a kids fitness day, got the local footy coach, got a local triathlete mate, and we kind of did gold coin donation, got 130 kids there, raised $700. That was my donation instead of me getting on the internet and raising the money that way. Because I find if you can provide, you know, so if people are going to do New York, instead of just asking people for money, do something where people can actually get some value back from it. Even Carly and I hosted a dinner one year, so we cooked, it was a pie and soup night. So everyone come around, it was $25 to come around, pie and soup and beers were paid for. Had a stack of people here, made like $2,000 really easy, did a raffle on the night. So instead of getting on the old GoFundMe and trying to ask for people's money for nothing in return, I find that's the better way to do it.
Yeah, but you're getting sidetracked because I'm talking about, like, I'm not talking about charity.
Yeah, you're going to have a crack at them.
It's totally different. I'm not having a go at anything about charity.
I was probably more linking it in just like how sketchy sometimes it is asking for money on social media, even if it's for you or for a charity. Like, you just see it all the time. Someone's raising, it's just constant, feed of different people asking for different amounts of money for different things, which are all amazing causes most of the time. But this is specifically people asking for their own hobby.
This is for someone, for their hobby. I can't afford to get there. Can you help us out?
Yeah. So that's,
So what you're saying, Moose, is I've got this lifetime goal of breaking 2:20 for the marathon, and I'm going to go to Lake Biwa to do it. So now's not the right time to ask you for a bit of cash. For a couple of weeks' time?
I have zero cash. Cash.
I agree with you. Like, I would find it very... Like, it's no different. Like, I'm going over to Japan in 2 weeks' time. I've paid for my own airfares. As a teacher, I don't have any leave, so I've got to take leave without pay. And there's no way I could ever put up a...
You don't have any leave as a teacher. No,
gets 12 weeks holidays.
But I have to take those when it's school holidays. Yeah. So if I want to take any leave outside of that, it's tough leave without pay. But I would never feel comfortable putting up a GoFundMe page to say, hey, look, I think I can break 220. It's a lifetime goal of mine. I'm going to Lake Biwa. Can you guys, you know, chip in for my accommodation or flights? I couldn't do that.
If I gave you $100, would you go out in 68 dead?
No, because my dream means more to me than $100.
Let's start a GoFundMe. GoFund Brad to go out in 68 dead.
We don't all rape and pillage our local community clubs, mate.
Oh, excuse me. That is some hard words. I'm not even going to address that. Community I'm sure clubs. That...
Anyway, I think that's us for the evening.
That is us. Yep. What are you guys up to this week? What's happening? Getting that planner sorted, Julian?
Yeah, I'm in the boot. It should be interesting sleep tonight. Very interesting sleep.
Drop some of those secret pills you take, you'll be right.
Yeah, I know. I will, actually. Good
Brad,
call.
How many days are you having off?
I'm not sure yet. Definitely tomorrow, so that's Wednesday, and Thursday was a scheduled rest day. So I'll probably take two off and then test it Friday. And I'm meant to be racing in or doing a 10K in Albury on Sunday. So, So it's meant to be just a, you know, a good solid 10K effort, but we'll just see. I'm not going to risk it. But hopefully I can still do something down there. I think I'll be right by Sunday. So.
Booked accommodation?
Yeah, I've booked accommodation. So I'll be down there regardless. And yeah, I'll just play it by ear. I'm not really making any plans, but hopefully there's not too many days where there's no Strava entry.
Yeah. Remember hashtag pray for Brad.
If I haven't run by this time next week, then I'll start to be a little bit annoyed. But I think we'll be all right.
That'll be good. Thanks for tuning in again. Thanks, boys. And we'll talk again next week.
Yeah. Over. See ya. Doesn't matter if it don't